it's Sam with Rowdy Alternative, and today we're with Slade Coulter, artist out of Texas. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. I'm happy to be here.
Awesome, dude. So you've been busy. What you been up to lately?
Yeah, man. We've been staying busy. We've been out on the road. It's been a crazy year for us, just with the lead up to the record and everything, and just trying to stay playing shows pretty steady. So it's been good.
Nice. You going to take a break at all for the holidays, or are you just going to keep driving through?
Man, it's a little bit of a break. I've got I'm doing an acoustic show this weekend. It'll be here in town in Lubbock, a little toy drive over at Cook's Garage. And then we've got our yearly New Year's Eve show over at the Blue Light. So I'll at least get to hang around town.
Hell yeah, man.
And then we're, you know, back out on the road after that. So.
Right on, dude. So I first caught wind of you, I think it was around 2021 when Hey Mary came out, I think it was. And
yeah,
you definitely caught my attention, man. You and that group, the Honcho group, I think it was at the time. Like,
right.
You, Stelly, and a few others. You know, there's a few of them. And I guess just to give the folks a bit of a background, we might as well just go back in time a bit and talk a little bit about like how you got started and when you like first started pursuing this as a career and everything.
For sure. So, I mean, I first started playing music when I was in high school. I've got an older sister who's a fantastic singer, and started out with me just playing guitar to back her up singing, basically. And then I jumped in, started singing songs with her, and then figured I should, you know, try my hand at writing my own stuff. And it kind of took off from there, and I came to school at Texas Tech and was just playing acoustic shows on the weekends to make a little beer money and stuff, you know. And man, I really fell in love with it and met some friends that are in the scene and stuff and absolutely loved it, and kind of made it my goal when I was in college to be playing full time by the time I graduated, so I didn't have to get a real job. it worked out just great. And just about the time I finished up school, we had the band up and going, and we're on the road just nearly every weekend by that point. So,
right on.
So it's been good. And the whole Honcho deal started with my buddy Dalton Domino, who's another Lubbock guy, songwriter. We originally got together and just started writing songs together. And he introduced me to Stelly and Cat Hasty and some of those other guys. And we kind of just all decided together collectively to start a, whatever you want to call it, management group. At the time, it was more of like a music collective, just a way for us to all get together and write songs together and play shows together and stuff. And we liked the name Honcho. I don't think we'd really settled on anything at the time. And then we played a little acoustic showcase over at the old Mags in Fort Worth. Had a little too much to drink, and me and Stelly and Kat went out that night and got matching Honcho tattoos, and it was set after that. So
that's awesome. Yeah, man. It was funny because when I remember I wrote an article for Rage Rowdy about Honcho, and I was, it's funny, you said, like I wasn't sure like what it was, you know, like it just seemed like it's like a management group, everything, but it seemed like a collective, you said, like a group of friends, I guess, like kind of like you're a squad, you know what I mean? Like you have,
for
like,
sure.
Is that pretty accurate?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I feel like that's what it was more than anything. It was really just like a group of songwriters, all young songwriters at the time. And you know, we all loved each other's music and enjoyed hanging out together. And so we decided, you know, this would kind of band us together as a way for us to write songs together and get to perform shows together. And then it kind of evolved into the management group and you know, it ran its course, but it was a really cool deal. I'm happy I was a part of it. Mm-hmm. But it was definitely more of just a friend group collective, I would say, at the time.
Yeah. And as for, Dalton Domino, like, I feel like a lot of people, at least, I guess, fans who are new to your guys' like scene out there, I feel like a lot of people don't really I wouldn't say they don't give him the respect he deserves, but like they don't really know about how much like he's really put into it and how much like he's been around for a while. Like a lot of people just like don't know about him. It's like this dude's like an OG. Like he's like really good writer. It, like everything he does is fantastic, and it had to have been really cool to like connect with him. Can you go in a bit on how you did meet him and everything?
Man, I'm trying to think. I mean, when I moved up to Lubbock, I think my first impression of Dalton was watching him at Blue Light.
Mm-hmm.
When I was like a freshman in school up here, way too young to be let into that bar, but got in there somehow anyway. And I'm trying to remember. It may have been through my buddy Grant Gilbert,
mm-hmm.
how we officially met or like got together to start writing songs. It was a more like over the phone thing, and we hopped on some Zoom calls and wrote a couple songs together, and okay. It kind of just started from there.
Yeah, that's awesome. So have you always had a knack for like songwriting? I know you told me how you started out playing with your sister, then you started doing your own thing. Was that kind of hard to get into? I know a lot of people are just automatically fantastic at it, and a lot of people have to work to really get it down. How was that experience right. for you?
Man, it was something I loved from the very start. Mm-hmm. Growing up, my mom was actually an English teacher and a journalism teacher.
That'll help.
And yeah, so I mean, I was writing and doing journalism and storytelling and, you know, all kinds of stuff throughout school growing up. And so it kind of came naturally to me, honestly. That being said, starting out, everybody writes some terrible songs, me included. I definitely wrote a few terrible songs to start out. But yeah, the more I did it, the more I fell in love with it. And it takes a while to develop, your sound, your style, mm-hmm. you know, starting out, especially, because I know everybody's different, but I kind of learned to do it by listening to other artists and okay, how are they writing songs? How are they singing? What melodies are they using?
Yep.
And so it's hard to be completely original, especially starting out.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, the more you do it, the more you kind of fall into it and find your own sound. And it definitely took a while for me to do, but, I really didn't have any trouble getting into it. I think just because I enjoyed doing it so much from the start.
Yeah. And I think especially with like the Texas scene or everything out there, well, it's with any scene, I guess, any genre is that sometimes like, well, you have to stand out and there's, and like I know recently in the Texas scene it's very rock leaning. That's what's really popping right now. And everyone wants to do that. And, you know, just like any other hip hop or like country, like it could get oversaturated. Like and sometimes artists, even if they're fantastic, they just get passed by, I think. And is that something that you had to battle? Like, to me, in my opinion, like you were one of the ones that stood out, which is like, because you do hear a lot of the same stuff, same kind of stuff. But for to sure. me, you stood out. Was that something that you had to really work to do? You kind of hit on it just now, but like, what was your process with that whole thing?
I mean, man, that was honestly, that was never really a conscious
okay.
thought for me when it mm-hmm. came to approaching my music. I mean, yeah, I did want to be different and stand out, obviously. But really the main focus for me in doing that was writing original songs. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm trying to think of how to say this. Like, cause we've never really been super country leaning and we've never been super hardcore rock leaning.
Right.
We're always kind of somewhere in the middle. And that's mm-hmm. kind of just part of, you know, finding your sound like I was talking about.
Yeah.
And really, I mean, from the start, I just focused on writing songs that I enjoyed, you know, and that I wanted to hear. Mm-hmm. It was never really a conscious decision of what genre we were going to be. It was kind of just like, you know, let's make the music we like and people can call it what they want to, you know?
Yeah. And nowadays, like, you don't really, like, people could put labels or genres on music, but nowadays, especially with Texas music and stuff that out west out there, it's you can't really put a label on it, because it's like you said, it's like everything. You could have the country stuff, you could have the rock stuff, you have everything in the middle, and there's definitely a beauty to that. And I'm curious, when you started to really get into your career and everything, what was really popping at the time, like in the Texas scene? Like, was it like when around Co's pop, or what was it like?
Yeah, it was for sure. So I came up to school here in 2016.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And that's when I really, was really getting into it and starting to write my own songs and really pursuing it. So it was definitely around, Co and Parker were popping at the time. Right. And obviously those are two guys I still look up to, and we've played shows with them, and they're fantastic musicians, fantastic people. Which is just another testament to the Texas music scene. Cause you've got Co who leans towards the rock stuff and is a little heavier. And you've got Parker who's on the other end, who's a lot more in the country stuff. And they're, they both took off together and are both doing their own respective thing, and it just works. And that's one of the things I really, really love about this scene, is like we've been on festivals before where, like one act will be Braxton Keith, for example, straight up honky tonk. And then it'll be, Geo.
Yeah.
And it's like polar opposite ends, but you get to listen to it all and you get to enjoy it all.
Yeah. And another really cool thing to watch is like the nationwide appeal now, like in such a short period of time, because Co like didn't really, I just use him because he's like, the big name out there. So like Co and a lot of acts to follow who were like just in like the Texas scene, like now they're traveling around the country, around the world even. And it's wild to see that. And under like, I don't know, like 8 years, or like probably like 5 years time, like it's crazy to see the boom of it. Is that something that you've either like experienced or might like, is that like kind of mind blowing to you, just to see like, it, I guess, a local thing just get so massive?
Yeah, absolutely. It absolutely is. I mean, it's inspiring, really, because, everybody that plays music around here, that they want that to be them. They want to be next up. You know what I mean?
And
it kind of gives you some hope, because you're like, oh my gosh, I've played shows with these guys before, I've been seeing them on the road for years, and now they're, going on tours to Japan and Europe. And so it's why not me? What I mean? So it's really, really cool to me, man. I try not to get jealous about it. obviously it's awesome to see those guys get that success.
Yeah.
And like I said, I try to look at it more from an inspirational standpoint, like, okay, this can work. You know what I mean? So,
yeah. And at least from my point of view, from the outside, when it comes to you and your music, I think, and you may disagree, you might agree, I think you kind of, blew up or popped off like pretty quick, in my opinion, just from seeing when I first started listening to you to now. Is that something that you agree with, like in terms of maybe others who hadn't had that happen to them yet or anything like that?
Yeah. I mean, certainly it's, and it's all relative,
Yeah.
Like, cause of course, compared to like Cohen Parker, I haven't done anything yet is how I look at it, but, I'll definitely say we were super blessed to have, some success right out of the gate. Especially, getting, like I was talking about, getting to fulfill my goal of being a full-time touring artist by the time I graduated school.
Right.
I know that's something a lot of people push for, and
it's
something a lot of people don't get the opportunity to do. And so that's something I'm very, very thankful for. I'm super glad that worked out. But yeah, now it's just, the goals have just gotten bigger, so it's just on to the next step.
Yeah. In your opinion, then, like, when you obviously in the music business, as an artist, you have to be competitive, right? You have to have that mindset. But also, And especially in the Texas music scene, I feel like there's a lot of camaraderie. You know, like, and do you think that outweighs the competitiveness, or is that a great thing to happen, or can it kind of have its downfalls too, to where like maybe you don't feel competitive enough? You like, if that makes any sense, like your homie's right. doing great, but you're also like, I don't want to like step on his feet or anything like that.
For sure. I mean, I can kind of see it both ways. Mm-hmm. I think the camaraderie outweighs it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, I mean, it's such a close-knit community as far as the artists go. And like I said, it's also, you know, spans so many different genres and styles and everything.
Yeah.
And it's super cool to see people you consider friends blowing up and taking off like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As far as the competitive thing goes, I try not to feel like I'm competing against them, you know, but rather mm-hmm. like competing with myself.
Right. Okay.
You know what I mean? Like I try to look at it as not comparing myself to the other artists, but comparing myself to how we've done in the past. So,
okay.
You know, seeing constant growth every year, mm-hmm. you know, better numbers with each release. And, you know, I think that fares well in the long run a little better than competing against somebody you consider a friend. You know what I mean?
Sure. Absolutely, man. And speaking on like progressing and like through your career, aside from like the marketing and actual business standpoint, mm-hmm. like how do you like artistically evolve? Like, is this something that naturally comes and it just pops, like it lands in your lap one day? Or is it something that you have to like push yourself to do, or maybe a bit of both?
Definitely a little bit of both. Mm-hmm. Like I said, and it changes with the time. It changes with, you know, getting older. It changes with the music I listen to.
Yeah.
You know, I'll go through phases where I'll listen to some heavy rock stuff and I'll be inspired to write a rock and roll song. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I'll listen to a bunch of like John Moreland and get inspired to write a sad acoustic song.
Right.
And so there's several different factors, you know, and a lot of that comes with the recording side of it too. Like for mm-hmm. instance, the first song I did, Walk Back Home, I had no idea what I was doing, you know, and came into a studio here in Lubbock and worked with Scott Ferris, who's a mm-hmm. great producer, did all Flatlands early stuff. And, you know, I kind of just gave him the reins to do it how he saw fit, you know, cause he's a great musical mind. And, you know, but since then we started recording with the band, with my band, you know,
right.
the touring band, and that changes the sound too, using your own band versus session musicians. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And
it's probably better. You could probably gel easier too, right?
For sure. You gel mm-hmm. easier and it's going to sound more accurate to your live show.
Yeah.
Which is something I think is super important as a touring artist. And so with our latest project, even we brought up a producer named David Beck from Austin.
Okay.
And he came up to Lubbock and we just recorded the whole record in our guitar player's house.
Oh, nice.
And it was super homegrown. It was all of us just bouncing ideas off of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think it's the most accurate to our sound yet, just
okay.
because it was so, you know, grassroots mm-hmm. and it was just us in there and us coming up with all the ideas but yeah, like I said, there's several factors to that, to finding your sound. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, I'm interested to see where it progresses next.
Yeah, man. Cause I think like, in my opinion, I think progression is like an artist progressing, in their own style and like switching it up maybe, and like doing whatever. I think that's really, of course you got bands like AC/DC who play the same shit, but they're just fantastic
yeah.
anyway. But like if an artist can progress with each album or whatever, and still stay true to their sound and not be afraid to change it up, stuff like that, I think that's what separates like artists from like, you know, I think that's what like really makes them stand out in my opinion, especially if like people like to change it up in the studio too. That's always so fascinating to me because like,
yeah,
I'm ignorant when it comes to production and all that. I could listen to artists talk about that all day, but when it comes to like the production aspect and getting that all together, Do you have, like, do you, like, put your own hand in on it, or do you, are you kind of one of the guys who are like, all right, producer knows what he's doing, let's let him go? Or, like, do you have any kind of input on that stuff, typically?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, and more so recently, you know, I've gotten a lot more comfortable knowing the process and knowing the studio process and knowing what the producer does. And, you know, like I said, starting out, I was a scared kid.
Yeah.
In a place that I had no idea what was going on. You know, you're surrounded by all this hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of equipment and knobs and buttons and lights, and you don't know what any of the shit is. And, you know, you're kind of just like, you kind of just give up control completely and you're along for the ride, you know?
Sure.
But it's, you know, the more you do it, the more you understand it. And I think that definitely played a big factor in being more comfortable, you know, approaching the producer and telling him, hey, I don't like this, or, you know, I'd rather do it this way. And,
yeah.
And, but also, you know, trusting the producer to know when you're wrong.
Right.
Is another thing.
For sure. For sure.
So yeah, it's definitely been a process. And I've been trying to get into doing a little music production myself recently, which has also been another big help in kind of understanding the ins and outs of it.
So like production for like other artists or?
Not yet. Right now, it's just, I mean, just like producing home demos and stuff like that. You know what I mean? But yeah, I mean, it's definitely been a process getting comfortable in the studio and comfortable with the whole process of it all. And that definitely helps in being able to bounce ideas off your producer and, you know, kind of make it sound the way you want it to sound.
Right on. So, have you been out to Nashville much?
Yeah, I've been up there a few times. I mean, I haven't done anything crazy. I've done a couple co-writes up there and, you know, taken a few meetings, with a few different, you know, executives and people, just trying to really figure out the whole business up there.
Yeah.
Cause it's a totally different world from the Texas scene up there.
Yeah, man. The reason I ask is, Rage Rowdy's based in Nashville. I'm not personally living there, but that's where we're based. And when I go down there from time to time, it's just like, it does seem very different. Cause I've been to Texas like way more times than I've got to, like, you know, meet artists like you guys and everything. And they're all, not talking shit on any of them, but like, they're all like great, but different. I feel like, and it's hard to describe what it is. And there is Yeah. And some artists, whether they be from like Texas or Oklahoma or whatever, they could be intimidated maybe, but also I feel like some of them have that like, you know, the classic like rivalry with like Nashville and everywhere else. Is that something that you have ever had, like a little like cold shoulder towards it? Or have you always just been like, some of them want to like go to Nashville and stay? It's just such a wide range of thoughts. That. What's your stance on that?
Man, I've never really had a rivalry with anybody. I mean, just cause like I said, I've only been up there a few times. So, yeah. I mean, I haven't been around just a ton of Nashville people. Like I said, I don't want to knock anybody or anything, but it's the culture up there is so different. Nobody is focused on touring. Like in Texas and Oklahoma and stuff down here, it's all about touring.
That's a good point. You know what I mean?
And playing live shows. And up there, it's all about, you know, who can write a song for who, or, you know what I mean? It's much more focused on trying to get stuff written for radio and, you know, and that's, like I said, that's awesome too, but it's not really my style. I've always, you know, I've always wanted to write my own songs, or at least, you know, co-write my songs with other people. And, but yeah, there's never been any real rivalry with any Nashville people.
Right.
It's like I said, it's just a completely different culture and completely different approach to it. And I respect it. You know, but I would much rather focus on, you know, improving our live show and hitting the road.
For sure. And I want to talk about your live show a bit, but before that, I wanted to ask, cause you co-wrote with, like the Honcho guys and gals, for instance.
Yeah.
And, like, was when you started co-writing, compared to now. Is that kind of hard to get used to? Because, like, you're not by yourself writing your own stuff. You're kind of bouncing ideas off of it, of each other. Was that kind of hard to get used to?
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely. I mean, it's like anything else. The more you do it, the more comfortable you get with it.
Yeah.
But thankfully, I mean, nearly all the co-writes I've done have been with really, really good friends of mine. Mm-hmm. Who are also, you know, songwriters and touring artists. And that definitely makes it a lot easier. Because like I said, I've gone up to Nashville a couple times and done co-writes with people that you don't know, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? And it's kind of hard to go in a room with somebody you know nothing about.
Yeah.
You don't know what you have in common. You don't know their writing style.
And try to write something like personal, because every song's personal. So I'd imagine it'd be hard to do with a stranger.
Exactly. And that's what I found with, you know, doing those writes up there is the songs, to me, they came out like pretty generic sounding.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they didn't feel like they had that oomph.
Yeah.
You know, but like when I write with my friends here, like Jordan Nix or mm-hmm. or Travis Roberts or some of these fantastic songwriters down here I'm friends with, it's, you know, it's a lot easier to go in there and be more open with them. And yeah. and honest about your ideas and where you're coming from and, you know, what you're hearing. And so those have definitely been by far my favorite writes is the ones with close friends, because it's just a lot more easy
for sure
to be open and honest with them, you know, and write something meaningful to you.
Yeah, man. So moving on to your live show, this is like my favorite question to ask is, how would you describe your own live show?
Oh, man, that's a broad question.
It is pretty broad, but it's always an interesting answer.
Man, I would say it's diverse.
Okay.
It's very diverse. And I mean, a lot like that's something I've always prided myself on is our records and projects have always been super diverse. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got the loud, heavy rock stuff. We've got the soft, sad songwritery stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, we try not to get locked into one specific sound. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, it may sound all over the place to some people, but I mean, I like it because there's some, you know, there's some up and down in the show. It's not all just,
it's one sound changing
the whole show. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. Hell yeah. So like you obviously seem like you love like the live shows and like playing to an audience is like one of your favorite things, you know, to come out of this whole thing. So because we're in the age now where artists have to not really rely, but they have to put a lot of thought when it comes to like TikTok, social media, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And some people do it themselves. Some of them hire other people to do it. But is that because you have probably like, I assume me and you are kind of close in age and like, that's kind of a new thing, I think. And
for sure.
Was that hard to really dive into, or have you dove into it yet? Or like, what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, man. I'm like, honestly, like just now in the last month or two, really trying to dive into the TikTok thing.
Yeah.
Because like you said, like, honestly, I hate it. I really do. But it's seems like that's the only way to be successful now, mm-hmm. which is crazy.
Yeah.
But it, you know, like it helps get your sound out there. It helps expose you to a whole new group of people, which I think is great. It's, you know, it's not my favorite thing. I've been doing it myself mostly. You know, our tour manager brings a camera out and we'll cut some acoustic videos and stuff like that. And I've been really trying to push that recently. Mm-hmm. You know, I wish it was still, you know, the 80s where you can just go out and tour and that's the only thing people care about.
Yeah.
But it's just simpler not that times. Way anymore.
Yeah. And it's, and I talk about this all the time on here, but it could be great for artists. Cause like a lot of great artists have come out of just TikTok, you know, but mm-hmm. also at the same time, I feel like that could be a detriment to them too, like blowing up that quick. And then they haven't played like a theater or less than that yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't know. Do you ever see any of that? Like, it's not really the artist's fault. That's just the hand they're dealt, which seems great going viral and all that. Like, that's awesome. But what are you going to do next kind of thing? Like, is that like a present, like deal going on right now?
Yeah. I mean, you know, like you said, you see it all the time mm-hmm. with people. And, for instance, like, not to name drop or anything, but like I went up and did that belting Bronco video with Zach Bryan.
Yeah. Yeah.
and that just really happened out of nowhere. He sent me a DM and flew me up to Seattle like a month later. And we shot the video and everything. And I was talking with him about it. And, he had never played a show at the time.
And okay. was,
you know,
yeah.
already getting, you know, hundreds of thousands of likes on videos and,
you Damn, know, I had do meetings. Remember that. That's right.
Yeah. Had meetings with, you know, the top executives in Nashville and everybody in the world knocking on his door.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And which I mean is great. And he's done a great job of maintaining it. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? But you definitely see people that get thrown into the fire like that.
Yeah.
And just don't know what to do next. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I can imagine it's gotta be crazy stressful to have, yeah. you know, everybody in the world looking at you and you have no idea what you're doing.
Right.
You know, but like I said, he's done a great job of figuring it out on the fly and,
yeah.
and has obviously become crazy successful with
yeah.
it. But there's, you know, there's people that don't know how to cope with that. And that's a way I try to look at it is that, you know, I'm thankful it didn't start like that for me.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer the slow growth kind of thing and try to look for our pop in the future, you know? Yeah. And this is just, this stage is, you know, us figuring it all out.
For sure, man. And like Zach Bryan is a good example. Cause obviously like, he's like one of the biggest, if not the biggest artist behind like Taylor Swift, probably like
yeah.
right now. And even with the success he's had, like, I mean, like you could see it, not the most recent stuff with Zach Bryan, but like the other stuff, like when it came to like the ticket thing and all that, like people were blaming him and stuff. And it's like, I don't like, don't blame the guy. Like that's just the phase of his career. He was just thrown into without like you yeah. said, like when he hadn't played a show yet at that one point. And it's just, it sucks, but you know, it's great to see him succeed in the end. Like not just him, but other artists, but man, it's really sad when like you see some of them that just, they go up here and then they're down here and there's not really a way for them to get back.
For sure. And I mean, that's part of it. I mean, that's the crazy thing about this whole TikTok phase is,
yeah.
you know, you'll take a kid who has one viral video and the only thing he's ever done is, you know, play acoustic songs in his living room and then you throw him on a stadium tour. It's yeah. like, how do you think he's going to react? You know?
Exactly. Exactly.
But like I said, some people just jump right into it and have great success and you know, good for them.
Yeah, for so. Sure. But let's talk a bit about your new record, man. Something to yeah. say. And first off, it was fantastic. I loved it.
Thank
it
you,
was,
man.
It was great. And I was really happy that your team reached out to me too. I've been wanting to get you on here for a while and like, I never knew the right people to contact. So, you know,
yeah, man. Well, I appreciate yeah. you having me.
Yeah. Yeah. No problem, man. But, yeah, let's talk about the record a bit. First off, is there, it being called the title it is there a message or theme that you really like wanted to send home with the whole thing? Or was it just a collection of songs you wanted to put out or what was your approach to that?
I mean, it's so something to say, it comes from, it's the first line on the record, you know, and it's, I thought that was fitting because like I talked about earlier, it was when we recorded this, it was just me and the band and the producer we brought up from Austin and in our guitar player's house, super homegrown,
yeah.
very much our organic sound. And, it's the first project I think that has felt that organic.
Yeah.
And I felt like something to say just kind of encompassed it all. Like, hey, this is us. This is our sound. Yeah. You know what I mean? And yeah, it was a blast. But that's really the main thing behind the title is like, hey, this is us.
Yeah.
You know, this 100%, this is all us. You know?
Yeah, and it really did. Like every artist or band has their statement piece. Like, you look back on this record and you're like, all right, this is them. And I feel like this, and you know, early in your career, but like the more you go, you could have more than one statement record. But I feel like this one for sure, man, like out of your discography, it's like, this is like you could tell he really phoned it in with this one. So it was really cool to see you hit that point. And were you pretty happy with the reception? It just came out recently, but are you pretty happy with how it's been going so far?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, it's we put out three singles before the release of the record, and then they all performed really well in my eyes. And yeah. since dropping the full record, we've gotten a lot of good feedback, a lot of good push on social media. And yeah, hopefully it's just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'd say you have a long way to go, man. And it's really good to, you know, it's really good to see. It's good to see it get recognized. I love it when, because when you were with, like, I keep bringing up Honcho, but that's really how I discovered you guys, is like you, yeah. like Cat Hasty, Jordan Nix, all them. And seeing the big pop with you guys, whether it's like a single drop it or a record or anything, it's good to see. So with it being December and we're coming up on 2025, is there any short-term, long-term goals you have, like in particular for next year you really want to hit?
Yeah. I mean, I already have started working on the next record.
Hell yeah.
You know, that's one thing with, it was such a long wait between our last record and this newest one. Mm-hmm. And that's something I really want to focus on is being better about getting music out quicker.
Right. That seems like such a stressful thing, dude. Like with any artist.
For sure it is.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, cause you know, studio time's not cheap and marketing the songs is not cheap. And, you know, but with as busy as we stay touring and stuff, I think we'll be able to make it happen and
hell yeah.
And get started on the next project sooner rather than later. For sure. That's another big focus of mine on this upcoming year. And just, you know, really diving more into the songwriting.
Mm-hmm.
That was another reason why it took so long is, you know, you kind of go through phases of loving it and being tired of it. And
yeah.
And, you know, I'm really getting back into loving writing songs again. And yeah. That's been a huge help with this record. And I think that'll help with the next project for sure.
Yeah. So how do you keep yourself from getting burnt out?
Man, I think switching it up, like for instance, I did a lot more co-writes this last mm-hmm. year, with several people. I mean, we had this whole week, up in Turkey, Texas, over at Hotel Turkey, which if you haven't been there,
no.
I highly suggest it. One of the best places in the world, some of the greatest people.
Okay.
But they love songwriters over there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're great about helping us. And they brought, was it 9 or 10 of us out and gave us a place to stay for like 4 or 5 days just for us to all get together and write songs.
That's awesome.
And yeah, I mean, it was the coolest experience. Just getting to focus on nothing except for, you know, hanging out and writing songs. And there's several incredible artists that were there that it was like me, Jordan Nix, Parker Ryan, Shelby Stone, Hank Weaver, Ashton Naylor, Cameron Albright. The list goes on. I'm sure I'm forgetting some people. but I mean, I think that definitely helps a lot is finding people that are as passionate about it as you are
mm-hmm.
and getting in some co-writes and, you know, chasing different styles and figuring out what you like best.
Everything, yeah, for sure. That's awesome, man. So before we get out of here, I know you just dropped a record, but people are always wanting new stuff. So do you have anything in the works, whether it be not just music, but like what are we looking for or what are we looking at when it comes to the touring and the new year and everything? What we got coming up?
Yeah, I mean, we've got, like I said, already getting started on writing mm-hmm. songs for the next record. You know, so I've got several in my back pocket ready to go. And then as far as touring, we've got a busy schedule. I know, at the start of the year, we've got, Steamboat Music Fest, which is
that'll be fun.
One of my favorites. That'll be a lot of fun. You know, and then we're back on the road after that. And, You know, we'll be at a lot of the same places we've been playing the last year or two, you know, throughout the Texas, Oklahoma scene. And this year we're really trying to branch out a little more and go out of state and kind of expand our markets a little more. So really looking forward to that.
Hell yeah, dude. That's exciting, man. So thanks a lot for hopping on, man. Before we head out, if you have any plugs for socials or website, the floor is yours.
Yeah, man. I appreciate you having me. I mean, you guys can follow me. It's just at Slade Coulter on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, wherever you want to find me. So TikTok, definitely TikTok.
Yeah, get them followers up.
Get them followers up. I'm trying to go viral, man.
Yeah, man. But yeah, Slade, thanks for hopping on, dude. Everyone listen, you got to check this guy out. Fantastic songs. And all his buddies too. That whole group he's with is a treasure trove for good tunes. So also make sure to follow Slade and also follow Rage Rowdy, Rowdy Alternative. We're on all the socials. Google us, you'll find us there. So thanks a lot, Slade, again, and we'll see you guys next time.
Sounds good, man. Thanks for having me on.
My boots look good on your bed. And I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips. You've been turning me on all night, so why don't you and I run and tell your friends who's gonna take you home tonight?